Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the phrase, "We have been set free from the law." What does that mean to you when you hear that phrase, "We have been set free from the law"? Do you think it means that the law is no longer in effect? That we're free from the law? We don't have to keep God's commandments anymore. Is that what you think? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what you think, because that's truly what most of Christianity teaches. But that's not what God teaches. So let's turn over to the scriptures, the Word of God, and let's see what God says. This is in Romans chapter 7 and verses 6 through 25. This is Romans chapter 7 and verses 6 through 25. Here it does say, "We have been set free from the law." But what does it mean? Well, let's let the Bible explain it, because right here in this verse, it begins to tell us the explanation of it. All right, we'll read this again, though. "We have been set free from the law, having died to that in which we were held." Now, what were we held under? This is the answer. "So that we would serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." That's what we were held under, was the oldness of the letter. But now we've been set free from the oldness of the letter of the law. That's the complete thought. And now we are free to serve God in the newness of the Spirit. That's what God is telling us. We have been set free. We're no longer held under the oldness of the letter of the law, but now we can serve God in the spirit of the law. And what is the spirit of the law? Christ himself said, "You have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not lust. But I say to you," as I'm teaching you how I came to fulfill the law, how I came to magnify the law, how I came to show you the proper perspective of the law, that I am saying to you, no, you should not even lust after a woman. Yeah, it's true in the letter of the law that you should not literally commit adultery, but I'm telling you that the spirit of the law, the intent behind the law, the full meaning of the law, is that you should not even lust after another woman, or else you have already in your mind committed the act of adultery. And I'm going to go even a step further. Christ says in other places that, husbands, you should love your wives, cherish them. That's what we should be doing. Now, let's go on in verse 7 to see this same thought being explained by the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Let it not be said." That's a stupid idea. That's foolishness. And that's a lot of foolishness that's being taught right from the pulpits across this world today in what's supposed to be Christian churches. People will say, "Oh yeah, the law is something bad. That's sinful. That's old." No, that's a foolish thought. That's not what God says. What God says is, through the Apostle Paul, "I did not know the definition of sin except through the law." So one of the facts of the matter is that the law has to still be in effect if sin is in effect, because sin is the transgression of the law, and it's through the law that we have a knowledge of what sin is. So first, you have the law, you have a knowledge of what sin is, that's why you can say, "Oh, I have sinned." That's why you can say, "Oh, I need to repent of my sins." That's why you can say, "I know I've been forgiven of my sins," because the law teaches you what sin is. We don't come up with the idea of what sin is. God defines what sin is, and the definition of sin is transgressing God's law. So God's law tells us what sin is, and that's what Paul is saying. "I did not know the definition of sin except through the law." Now, which law is he talking about? Again, God is going to explain this through the Apostle Paul. He goes on to say, "I did not know lust except the law said, you shall not lust." Now, what law said that? That's right, the Ten Commandment law. That's what teaches us what sin is. The Ten Commandments of the law. In verse 8 it says, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all kinds of lust." Now what is that saying? It's simply a statement of the fact that sin is defined by the law. If there is no law, there is no sin. Let's read it again. "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment." That means that sin being exposed for what it is through the commandment, worked in me all kinds of lust. In other words, not that the law caused Paul to lust more, but the law caused Paul to see that he had been lusting more than what he thought he had. Because again, this is the spirit of the law. It reveals, it sheds a light on what we are doing. It tells us, man, you're sinning. Before you thought you might not have been sinning because you hadn't been committing adultery, but now that the light has been turned on, that the law in its full extent has been revealed, you say, wow, man, I thought I was doing pretty good. I see I'm pretty rotten though. That's the thought that Paul is having here. So again, without the law, he says, sin is dead. There is no sin if there is no law. So if there's sin today, and there surely is sin today, as God says, and as we can see it, then there must be a law that defines that sin. Now in verse 9, Paul is saying something very interesting here. Paul was a Pharisee, right? Now the Pharisees kept the law in the letter of the law. Of course, they were hypocrites because they would also put all kinds of extra things on people that were not in the law of God. These were things that they made up that made them seem like they were more righteous, and then they didn't even keep it themselves, so they were hypocrites for that. But the law itself, in the letter of the law, keeping the Ten Commandments, the Pharisees did a pretty good job at that. But notice what Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once." What is he saying? I was alive. That means he was living in his own fantasy world, thinking that everything was fine because he was without the law once. Now, that doesn't mean that he was without a knowledge of the Ten Commandments, because he was a Pharisee. He was taught about the Ten Commandments from his youth. But what it means is he was alive, thinking he was doing pretty good, without the full understanding of the law, without the spirit of the law. Paul, as a Pharisee, wasn't serving in the newness of the spirit. He was only serving in the oldness of the letter. So God set him free from thinking that he could relate to God only by the oldness of the letter. So now he can serve God through the newness of the spirit by the power of God that was in Paul through his repentance and baptism. So he says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came," in other words, when the full understanding, when the spirit, the intent of the law came in, "then sin revived and I died all over again." In other words, I saw sin for what it was, so it became sin all over again. It took me to a whole new level. I wasn't committing adultery, but I was lusting, so now sin came back in, and I died again because the wages of sin is death. And I saw that I was sinning, so therefore I knew that I had incurred the death penalty again. In verse 10 it says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life," in other words, if a person keeps all of the commandments perfectly, as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, did, then we can have life by the law because we never sin. And the wages of sin is death. If we never sin, we never have to die. So the commandment which was ordained to life was found to be death to me because I transgressed the law, and the wages of sin is death. Now in verse 11, "For sin," this is the same thought again, "for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me." Now it says in verse 12, "So indeed the law is holy." Now have you heard that before? Or have you heard that this old law, that was a harsh law that a harsh God gave, and that law is done away with? Thank God the law is done away with. That's the feeling that you get from listening to preachers teach erroneously from the scriptures. but you are hearing the word of God today, explained by the Spirit of God. So indeed, in verse 12, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. That's right, good. You want me to say it again? Good. The law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good, if we use it for its just and good purpose. So we are not, and we will never preach to you that you can have forgiveness of sins through the law, which is justification, because you cannot. We will never preach to you that you can have righteousness by the law, because you cannot. We will never preach to you that you can have the gift of eternal life by keeping the law, because you cannot. Those are wrong uses of the law, and indeed, the Pharisees, many of the Israelites, tried to establish their own righteousness, thought that they were basically not being counted as sinners, and thought that they had the right to life and all blessings from God because of keeping the law. But God came and blew that thought apart, saying that all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. There is none righteous, no, not one. Well, there is one, and that's Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the only one who has ever kept the law perfectly, who never sinned, and therefore never deserved to die. He was the only one that had righteousness by the law. And so, in verse 13 it says, let me ask you this question. Then, has that which is good become death to me? Let it not be, but sin, this is the purpose here, but sin, that it might be fully manifested as sin, works death in me by that which is good. And we saw that it's the law that is good. So it's the law that shows him his sin fully. It fully manifests the sin when we're dealing with it in the spirit of the law, in the newness of the spirit. Then sin is fully manifested in all of its ugliness and horribleness. And so the law is good because it teaches us how bad we are, because it teaches us how sinful we are. And then, because we are condemned under sin and condemned to death, we have no place to turn except to the one who can deliver us from sin. And who is that that can deliver us from sin? It is God through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see more about that through the rest of these scriptures in our next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and I really hope you're going to come back, because this is so important for you to learn, to have the errors that you've been taught just totally obliterated, and to have the truth of God so that you can live according to God's law and really have the relationship with him that he wants. Because God's law, as he says, teaches us how to love God with all of our heart and our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the two great commandments in the law. The first four commandments teach us how to love God, and the last six commandments in the law teach us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. So again, I hope you'll come back to find God's perspective on the law in our next program.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.